Again, let me say how much we appreciate the presence of each and every one of you. If you are visiting with us today, you are indeed honored guests, and we're glad you came. We want you to come back and worship with us every opportunity that you have. Brother Paul led the song that I asked him to lead before I got up and preached this morning, because I have chosen as our lesson today, "Because the Lord Lives." And Bill Gaither and Gloria, maybe you have seen them before on TV. Bill's getting on up in years now, but they wrote a beautiful song. It's not the only one, of course, that he wrote. And people who love God and who want to set forth to music some of those words, this is one of the most beautiful songs that I've ever heard. And it's always meant a lot to me, and I hope that it means as much to you as well, because Jesus lives. Oh, and by the way, let me give you a verse of Scripture before I even begin, and that's Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. And the Bible says that Jesus was raised from the dead, proven to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Everything that he did in life was wonderful. The life he lived, the lessons he taught. But unless Jesus was raised from the dead, he was an imposter. But Jesus is proven to be the Son of God through, by, the resurrection from the dead. I wanted to look at some preliminary things before I get into the lesson proper itself. And I think that's very important to do as we look at the lesson. Because he lives. The verse of scriptures that were read a few moments ago are very important because they talk about Christ, his pre-existence before he came to earth, and what he was able to do with the Heavenly Father, especially in reference to you and I. So the Bible says in John 1, verses 1 through 4, "In the beginning was the Word." Now Jesus, before he came to earth, was known as the Word of God. As the Spirit was the Spirit of God. God the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. This you will find over in Genesis chapter 1, and as you read about what God did. In the beginning, God. That's Elohim. That is plural in the Hebrew. That is plural. It means more. Christ was there. God the Father, Christ, the Word, and the Spirit. So if you go down to around verse 3 or 4, it says, "And the Spirit was there," because the Spirit moved over the face of the waters. See what I'm talking about? So that when you read in the Scriptures, you're going to be reading about the triune God. You're going to read about the Father, about the Son, about the Holy Spirit. Now, the Word became the Son. Before, he was known as the Word. But now, when he comes into the human flesh, we know him as the Son of God. And he came to show us the Heavenly Father. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was anything made that was made. When it says "in the beginning," it means the beginning of creation, not the beginning of God. God has no beginning and no end. Now, I know what I'm saying to you gets to you because it gets to me. And you know why? We're acquainted with death. We're acquainted with coming and going. But God is life. And the life is the light of men. Always existing one. Had there ever been a time when something did not exist, then nothing could exist at any time. That's scientific. If you were to talk to a scientist about that, he'd say, "That's right. Something does not come from nothing." Now they will come up with propositions and they will say, oh no, we all just came, you know, from this or that. How did this or that get there? Something is, therefore something always was. If there had ever been a time when nothing existed, then nothing could exist at any time. That's scientific. That is true beyond a shadow of a doubt. So there has to be the being, and that being is the eternal God. And in the beginning, the Word was there. And if you read the Scriptures concerning creation, God spoke the Word, and it stood fast. He said it. And it was done. And so the instrument of creation was through the Word, was through Jesus Christ. Now, if you go and listen to Paul, Paul tells us that there is something within us that causes us to recognize God. It just is. It always got me when I would talk to someone who doesn't believe, say, I don't believe in God. Well, if you don't believe in God, what are you talking about Him for? Why are you arguing against Him if you don't believe in Him? You understand what I'm saying? That's kind of contradictory, isn't it? To spend my time, like Miss O'Hara used to do, to spend my time on earth arguing against that which I don't believe. Well, that's just wasting your time. So Paul says there's something put within us that causes us to seek God. That happily, he said, even your own poets have said, we're the offspring of God. Therefore, the offspring of God, we ought not to think, is made out of gold or silver, graven by art and men's device. He says he put something within us that we might seek God and might find him, though he be not far from any one of us. That's what Paul told the people at Athens in Acts the 17th chapter. Bill Gaither and Gloria wrote that song, and it was published in 1971. And if you would look in your book, you'll find a few other songs that they also wrote. But men have always bowed the knee, just like, or bowed the head and bowed the knee, just like Paul said. There's something in us. Don't care where you go. If you were to be able to find an island in the sea where no one had ever been before, where there were beings living on that island, you know what you would find? They would be worshiping. Never has there been found any peoples on the earth that did not worship something. I didn't say worship God. I said worshiping. There's something within us that causes us to worship. Paul walked among the heathen shrines. He saw all these altars, all these idols that men had built that looked like animals or that looked like pieces of the heavens or this, that, and the other. He said, I see that you're religious people. I saw one altar to the unknown God. Now, him whom you ignorantly worship, declare I unto you. He made the heavens, the earth, and the world, and all that's in them is. And he put within us to worship him, to seek him, to try to find him. Says in Christ was life, and his life is the light of men. Bible says shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not, cannot overcome it. I can tell you a few things about the Almighty that may shake you up. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16 says that he dwells in a light that is unapproachable by man. No one has ever approached nor seen Almighty God. No man. I didn't say angels. I didn't say Jesus Christ, spirits. I said man. No man. Go to the book of Exodus, chapter 32, chapter 33. Moses pleaded with God, let me see you. And what did the Lord tell him? No man can look upon me and live. Remember? Moses was near enough to God that he literally began to shine. But no man No wonder, brothers and sisters, we're going to have a new body. We cannot, flesh and bone cannot enter heaven. We got to be changed. So in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, we will be changed. And then we'll see Him as He is. And there will be no sun there, no moon, no need of it. Why? God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all, and that's 1 John 1 and verse 5. And He's in light that's unapproachable. Remember your mama used to say, don't look directly into the sun, you'll go blind. Well, can you imagine? God made that thing. He who is all power, all might, Jesus Christ the Lord, the agent of creation. No wonder when Paul saw Him on the Damascus road, blindness came over him. Right? Jesus allowed him to see Him. Blindness. But the Heavenly Father sits in light, unapproachable. Often men will say, show Him to me, and I'll believe. I cannot show Him to you. No one can. And I'm going to go a little bit farther this morning and tell you this. I cannot explain all there is about God either. If you think, well, we got a preacher, Dan, you can tell us everything. I don't know everything. In fact, if you know me very well, you know I don't know very much anyway. But the fact of the matter is, I cannot explain God. I've been studying this thing over 60 years. And I'm telling you, there's things about God I cannot explain. I can't get it. It's beyond me. Why? Because I'm in flesh. I'm a human being. That's divine. The infinite cannot be fully understood by the finite being. And that's who we are. One of these days, we'll know as we're known. One of these days, things will be made plainer to us. But I'm telling you right now, there's no preacher, and I don't care who he is, that stands in the pulpit and says, ask me and I'll tell you. He's a liar. No man, not even Moses, whom the Bible said God knew face to face. That doesn't mean that Moses saw him, but he was near to him, so that Moses literally shined. Had to put a veil over his head when he'd go back and talk to the people. Because that would scare them. After a while, the shining would go away. He'd take the veil off. When he went back to see God, he'd take that veil off. Or to talk to God. I want to point out to you that even His disciples, the apostles, were just like we are. They had questions, folks, because they were human beings. I want to show you. Philip said to Him, Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. Did you know after that, that little old Philip raised his hand? Well, ask a question. Lord, would you show us the Father? There you are. Everybody wants to see the Father. Show us the Father. You know what Jesus said to Philip? Philip, have I been with you such a long time? I've been walking with you now for 3 years, and have you not seen the Father? To see me, Philip, is to see the Father. To hear me is to hear the Father. I speak the very words that He gave me to say. You see me, you see the Father. If it had been the Father to come instead of the Word to come into the flesh, it would have been the same thing. Because the Father and I are one. We agree in one. John 20, 25 and 26. Just like some folks today. Here's one of His disciples. Jesus appears to these apostles. Thomas is not there. They tell Thomas, you should have been here. He's alive. We've seen Him. Oh, I will not believe it unless I see it with my own eyes. Unless I can see the nail scars in his hand, thrust my hand into his side, I won't believe it. 8 days later, they are locked up in that room again. And Jesus appears in a locked room with the disciples. And he knew what Thomas said. What did he say to Thomas? Come here. See the nail prints. Put your hand into my side. Don't be faithless. Believe. Now listen, Thomas. Blessed are you because you see me. You believe it. But blessed are those who will not see me, yet they'll believe. Brothers and sisters, did you know that your faith is accounted before God is a wonderful thing? We've never seen him, but we believe beyond a shadow of a doubt he is the Christ, the Son of God. The eternal Godhead is mentioned at least three times in the Bible, Acts 17:29, where it says that all things were created through his eternal power and his Godhead, Romans 1:20, the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen by those things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Colossians 2:9, in him that is in Christ dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See, if it had been the Father, we would have seen no more than they saw in Jesus. If it had been the Holy Spirit, then no more than they saw in Jesus. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, because he lives, there are so many blessings that you and I have, and I just think we fail to recognize what he's done and what he continues to do. In the chorus of that song, here's what Bill Gaither said. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Have you ever come up on people who say, Dan, I just can't make it another day. I just can't do it. Well, I have. I've had many people break down and just say, I can't make it. Because he lives, you can. Because Christ lives, you can face tomorrow, and I can face tomorrow. James 4:13-15 says, go to now, you that say, if you're doing this on your own, go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we're going to such a city, there we will buy, sell, and get gain. Whereas you know not what's on tomorrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a short time, then it vanishes away. We ought to say, if God wills, we will do this or that. Don't you see? Proverbs 27:1 is again, he makes a statement, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring. We don't know how long we're going to live. We don't know what holds tomorrow, but we know who holds it. You see? If you've got faith in Jesus Christ, if you live by Jesus Christ, it doesn't make any difference. Because we know who holds tomorrow. Because he lives, then I can face tomorrow. All things are fine. Because Christ lives, I can make it. For which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. For I know in whom I have believed, and I know that he's able to keep that which I commit to him against that day. That's 2 Timothy 1:12. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Now if you and I lived in the first century, we'd know more about what he's talking about. And I hope and pray it doesn't come to our country. I hope it doesn't come to you, and I hope it doesn't come to me. But at that time, it was outlawed to be a Christian. They no more minded coming in and arresting you and cutting your head off or running you through with a sword or throwing you to the lions or anything else. Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things that shall come upon you. Behold, the devil will try you. You're going to have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. It's not men that we should fear. We should fear Him who, having destroyed the body, can cast both body and soul into hell. That's Matthew 10:28. If you really want to fear, fear who? Fear God. Because He holds in His hand. Ecclesiastes 12:13. End has been heard. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Hebrews 13:6. What should I fear that any man can do unto me? As long as he lives, and that's forever, and I belong to him, it doesn't make any difference what anybody does to you. What anybody may say to you, how anybody might treat you, you know who lives. And you know that you're alive in Him. Number three, because He holds the future. I know where I'm going. Now, I'm like everybody else. I want to stay around here about as long as I can. But we on our way out of here. We just bade farewell to our little tray. It happens over and over. This is the land of the dying. Not the land of the living. That's what we call it. But no, it's the land of the dying. The death sentence is on us. It's coming. But we know who holds the future. We know where we're going. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we're going to be with the Lord. Nothing greater, more wonderful than that. Look, people, look, we're always asking, okay now, you guys know as well as I do, all we think about is the flesh, fleshly things. That's what bothers us. If I want to do what's right, what does Paul say? There's always something evil there trying to keep me from it, right? Over in Mark 12:25, I want to show y'all something. A little baby's born into the world, and we look at it. And we said, bless its little heart. It's a little angel. No, it's not. It's a little human being. But you know what Jesus said? When you and I leave this place and we go to be in heaven, Mark 12:25, we're going to be like angels. So we got it backwards, don't we? We got to get out of this world to be angels. Mark 12:25. We will then be like angels. Neither marry nor given in marriage. No more death. No more sorrow. Because He lives, my future is secure. Number four, last. Because He lives, my life is worth living. You know why? Because we're the servants of God. There's a reason for us to be here. I want to go back to Ecclesiastes 12 again, verses 13 and 14. For this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is your duty. You and I give glory to the Almighty God by withstanding the devil, by giving our life to God and saying, I don't care what you do, fella, you're not going to take me over. I love God. And because He lives, I'm living, and I intend to continue to live. Hebrews 6:11 and following, He gives us He gives Abraham as an example. He says, I want you to have the kind of faith Abraham did. God made promise unto Abraham, right? I'm going to greatly multiply thy seed. and then through thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And when he wrote about that, he said, and we should be like Abraham, who endured unto the end. God's promise was given to him. And so he said, I desire that you all endure unto the end and be as faithful Abraham, who received that promise that God made to him. Isn't that beautiful? 1 John 3:2-3, and hereby the love of God, that we can be called the sons of God. Brothers and sisters, we do not know what we shall be, but we know that when we see Him, we'll be like Him. We'll see Him as He is. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it is not I. It is Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the will of the Son of God, who loved me and who gave Himself for me. Thanks be to God for the great gift of His Son. Because He lives, you and I have the opportunity to have forgiveness of our sins and the hope of eternal life. If you're subject this morning to the invitation of Christ, we pray that you'll come to Him. This may be your last opportunity. Do you believe with all your heart He is the Christ, the Son of God? Then repent of those sins. Turn away from a life of sin. Confess His beautiful name. Be buried with Him in the watery grave of baptism. Be raised to walk a new life. He adds you to the church. Be faithful unto death. Heaven's your home in the after while. If you obeyed Him and drifted away, come back home. Let's pray together. If you'd like to make a place membership and work and worship with us here, would you please come while together we stand and sing.